This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Welcome to Over the Influence. My name is Sharon Hartley, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. I'm going to keep it really, really brief today because if you've heard the podcast before, you've been back over series one, series two, and then series three that never ended and never will at this rate. You'll know exactly who we are. As I said, my name's Sharon Hartley. Call me Shaz. 4 years alcohol free. Absolutely life-changing stuff. With me is my fabulous co-host, Ben Anderson.
Hello, Ben, 34, live in Liverpool, just over 2 years alcohol-free. We're keeping this really short today, aren't we, for good reason. Well, this is all about our community members, this episode. Yeah. But of course, there's some pretty major news.
So as well as this podcast, Over the Influence, and as well as running our fantastic community with Ben, of course, my other job is as a presenter and a broadcast journalist at BBC Radio Lancashire. So we just wanted to put you in the picture as to why I disappear halfway through this recording. Basically, when I left work on Thursday, we knew that the Queen was gravely ill. And I think for just about every media outlet across the world, we were expecting some really sad news later on that day. So during the course of our recording with myself and Ben and our members, I had to take a phone call and I got some news alerts that I needed to deal with. And then, of course, speak to my managing editor at BBC Radio Lancashire, hence why I disappeared during the recording. And of course, our members left in the very capable hands of Ben.
It was weird. I knew something serious had happened when you had to go, because you didn't even say goodbye. You just disappeared off the Zoom. And I thought, oh, is this the news that we've all been dreading? But how was it for you going on air the next day?
Was it horrible?
Because obviously by the time that you were on air the next day, it's like when anybody passes away, there's the kind of initial moment of shock and sadness. And then, depending on the kind of person they are, people can't help but start celebrating their life. I thought that was actually really nice. It's very odd to see that, how that shift happened, especially over the weekend. And people like the bodyguard, one of the Queen's bodyguards, shared a very funny story about her in Scotland. Yeah. It's been shared far and wide across social media. And how was it being on air the very next day?
So basically what happens is when an announcement is made regarding the death of the Queen, National takes over. So National BBC takes over, and then a decision is made when we will go local again, back on air. So we went back to local output, as it's called, at 6 o'clock the following morning. So that was our breakfast show host. And then I came on air at 10 o'clock and did my usual slot between 10 and 2. Very, very, very different show. It was only decided short time before 10 o'clock, actually, that some appropriate music would be played. Maybe one song every 15 minutes, something like that. But what we did do was just speak to so many local MPs and council leaders, dignitaries, people that had met the Queen over the years, you know, that had been to the county. And then so many people got in touch, just wanting to share how they were feeling when they'd maybe met the Queen in the past on one of her many, many visits to Lancashire. So it was a mix of everything. But personally, it was just painfully sad. It was just a really, really sad, well, a sad few days, and it continues to be so. Because as a radio presenter, as you know, Ben, you just want to get it right. You just want to get it right. It's so, so important to get it right, to be respectful.
And I'm sure you did. I'm sure you smashed it.
Well, I try my very best. Yeah. And it's very, very rare I will ever leave a podcast recording. But say it's very rare. It never, ever happens that I would ever leave a podcast recording, not least with our marvellous community members. But given the news that was shared last Thursday, my other job absolutely had to come first. So thank you for allowing the disruption.
It's totally cool, and but please never do it again. It was also quite nerve wracking. It was very odd recording without you looking at beaming back on the other side of the screen as you usually do.
I'm sure you all got on swimmingly.
We've obviously gone quiet on social media over the weekend. It has been announced that the funeral is a week today when this podcast comes out. We send, like everyone else in the country, send our best wishes to the family. She was an amazing woman, and you know, we're very honest here at Over the Influence. We're very cards on the table. Cards on the table for me. I do struggle with the concept of monarchy in terms of the establishment and the hereditary side of it. Having said that, she was an incredible public servant for many years, and I had nothing but a huge amount of respect for Queen Elizabeth. So, yes, difficult times. The country always comes together through them. And yeah, don't leave me again, Chaz. There you go. That's it. It's time to get to the community members, because this podcast is all about the incredible Snowdon trip that we went on. Well, I say we went on. You were there for the whole thing. I turned up just for the really fun bit. I skipped the mountain. I skipped the mountain because Jem is obviously due very soon. The baby is coming very soon. So being on top of a mountain, getting the phone call saying, quick, it's happening, wouldn't have been great. So I came for the day paddle boarding.
And you know what? It was... if you want to hear our thoughts on the whole Snowdon weekend, you need to subscribe to the premium podcast Over the Influence supercast.com, and that is myself and Ben wanging on about all sorts, but we do talk a lot about the Snowdon trip. What was brilliant, and you know what, Ben, it's okay that you didn't do Snowdon, it's okay that you didn't camp, that is fine. It was just really surreal, me and you having a bit of a catch up, a board meeting. I was on a paddleboard. You was on a paddleboard, and yeah, it's like, yeah. Oh, hi, Ben.
Obviously, obviously. It was amazing.
Don't
listen to us. Listen to our community members talking about it. This is the Snowdon special. We've got four community members, two of the boys, two of the girls on this call. It's a great podcast. Really hope you enjoy it. We picked on Maz first.
So there's four community members, four amazing people joining us on this episode today. The other 26, they're still not speaking to me after the weekend. They're still recovering after the trip. They're exhausted, they're grubby, they're tired. But I'll tell you what, they are literally on top of the world. Just going back to what you said there, Ben, about celebrating my 4 years alcohol-free. It happened by coincidence that I ended up celebrating it with our community members at the foot of Snowdon at the weekend. That's what this episode is all about, because the feedback is off the scale and I'm still really buzzing from it. Seriously, absolutely buzzing. And I'm really glad we've managed to get everybody on this call at the same time. Busy lives and all the rest of it. I'm going to pick on Maz first. Maz is one of our really active community members. I knew Maz was lively. Didn't realise quite how lively she was till I spent the weekend with her in that field in Wales. Maz, welcome to Over the Influence. Thank you for joining us on this podcast special. I suppose I've got to ask you, first of all, how the hell are you after what's just happened?
I'm okay. I think I've come back down to earth now. But the first few days afterwards, it was a bit surreal. And my legs didn't work, especially the hips, actually. I thought it was going to be the knees, but it actually got me mostly in the hips.
It hurt, but, you know, type 2 happiness. If you remember the episode we did with the sober trekker, you do something physical and it hurts at the time, and you get to the top and you go, oh, my God, I feel elated. I'm buzzing. Did you feel that, or is it just tired?
No. I think I actually mentioned type 2 happiness whilst, I don't know who I was talking to, but I was like, I think it was me, Maz. Was it you? Yeah, Shaz, I think we're doing type 2 happiness. So
type 2 happiness was... really hurts. Didn't think it would hurt as much as this.
But everything that's good for you hurts, right? That's what they say. It was an absolutely brilliant weekend. And I think I am naturally quite energetic, but I was running off of adrenaline and excitement on top of that, and a bit of sleep deprivation on Saturday as well.
Definitely.
So it just added to the mania. But no, it was brilliant. It was amazing. From the moment I got there to the moment that I left, it was amazing.
Maz, why did you come? Because it's for a lot of community members.
Good question.
It was... I think, well, just about for everybody, to be honest with you, it was a really big deal. The majority of people came on their own, even though we were all getting together and a few of us, you know, have obviously met online. There was a fair bit of anxiety and a little bit of nerves and all the rest of it. What made you go, you know what, sod it, I'm going to join these people and see what happens?
I think, yeah, I just wanted to meet you guys. So I'd met a few people on Zoom and I've been quite active in the community. And I was after, oh God, there's that word connection again. I was just after that connection, and there is no better connection than seeing people in real life. So I also, I really knew that I was going to have a good weekend. Like I'd already, whether I decided that or whether I just knew it was going to be good, I knew it was going to be a nice experience. So I kind of just went with it. I was really excited to meet everybody. And just yet, maybe a bit of curiosity as well to see whether it was going to be as good as I thought it was going to be. But didn't think anything of it. And actually, for the first night, I wasn't that nervous, which surprised me. I was excited. I think the nerves came at like 2:30 in the morning when my alarm went off. Then it all suddenly got really real. But prior to that, I was really excited. And interestingly, sort of before I gave up alcohol, social situations and meeting big groups of people used to put the fear of God into me. So I really noted on that 5-hour journey over to North Wales just how calm I was. And I didn't feel that sense of agitation that I used to get before social situations. And I was like, okay, so this is interesting. I'm looking forward to this and I feel really, really grounded.
Isn't it mad how all that changes, Maz? You know, the prinks that you need before you go out for drinks just to calm the nerves. And yet there you are. You've driven 5 hours to meet a load of people in quite a damp and drizzly field at first. And you've just used the word grounded. And that's what removing booze does.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also when I think I did a post on it at some point in the group, some of that agitation around meeting other people, I think, was also the anxiety around drinking, knowing that you're going to end up with a hangover the next day as well. So it wasn't just meeting people. I think there was some anxiety around the fact that you were going to drink to feel relaxed, and then that would probably lead to another drink, which would probably lead to a hangover. So take alcohol out of the equation. It does generally just make things a lot easier and simpler.
I remember reading that post, and we had a guest on. It might have been Rosie. A couple of months back, he talked about that. The kind of, I'd never experienced that myself before. The next day, yes, but not anxiety in the leading up to drinking. I never thought about it. There really is so much to it, isn't there, Maz? And I have to say, you know, your posts are fabulous in our discussion forums. You're such an active member. Can you tell us a bit about your story, Maz? Because, I mean, it's a busy time in your life at the moment, isn't it? There's a lot going on.
I don't know what you mean. It's not like I'm getting married in 9 days.
I'm just glad you're in one piece, Maz. We delivered you back safely to your husband-to-be.
My favourite post of yours was about your sober Hendu and how you're at the bar and you just, yes, that one word away. Just, do you want a drink? You just, yes. You're just that one word away. But you did the sober Hendu, didn't you?
I did, a sober Hendu, completely sober. And yet it was like that. That's what I remember. The biggest thing from that Hendu was when I got to the bar and they asked me what I wanted to drink or if I wanted a glass of wine, because people were offering to buy me drinks all the time. I was literally one word away from having a drink and then having a hangover. And I was really acutely aware of that. But I said no the whole time. So really pleased with that.
So tell us why you decided to make the change and go alcohol free then, Maz.
So I've always been into sort of self-development, self-awareness and kind of and all that kind of stuff. And what I started to realise is that as I get older and as I sort of kind of develop myself and become more self-aware, alcohol just didn't fit into that. Whenever I drank or whenever I had a hangover, I lost all the resources that I'd developed over the years, all the tools and the skills that I had to be the best version of myself. As soon as I drank alcohol, I became something that I wasn't. The way that I acted was incongruent to who I was. It was incongruent with what I valued. Hangovers meant that I didn't go to the gym, and yet I really value my fitness. Hangovers meant that I felt physically sick and I was craving bad food, and yet I'm really into eating well and looking after my body. Drinking alcohol lowered my mood, yet naturally I'm quite a positive, bubbly, outgoing person. So it was kind of like the thing that just no longer fitted in with what I wanted to do and who I wanted to be. But even if you start off enjoying alcohol, I think it gets to a point where the alcohol takes control, and then it starts, what you used to use it for, like for enjoyment, for example, that stops happening, and then it kind of morphs and turns into something else. And that's kind of what happened with me, but I was in that habit of drinking. So it took me a little while to kind of understand that if I continue drinking, it's just going to keep getting worse, basically, unless I physically just stop, or at least try to stop the best that I can. But yeah, I think it just didn't fit. It turned me into somebody who I wasn't. It turned me into somebody who I didn't want to be. It really conflicted with all of the other things I was trying to do in my life. And it just wasn't worth it in the end, if I'm honest. The forfeit, you know, the things that you have to give up in order to continue drinking, it's just not worth it in the end for me.
I love that, Maz. It reminds me of a quote that I think Amanda put into the discussion forum. Once a cucumber becomes a pickle, it could never be a cucumber again.
Makes me laugh, that.
I like that.
Yeah, it makes you laugh because you like the word pickle.
I like the word pickle, and cucumbers just lol. So.
Maz, honestly, there's so many. We're at quite a similar stage in life as well, because I'm getting married next year, and it's, you know, when you speak, I'm just nod along and go, yeah. Because you're a perfect example of somebody who, you don't have to hit a rock bottom to decide to change your relationship with alcohol. We always say that. But also, you don't need to hit a rock bottom. You can be any kind of drinker and benefit from removing alcohol. And I think you're an amazing example of that. It was so nice to meet you face to face at the weekend, Maz, rather than, you know, we talk all the time on Zoom, which is fab, but it was great to be able to give you a hug and, you know, meet you properly. So thank you so much for coming at the weekend. I'm really glad that you felt calm and collected and grounded on the way there, and then shone all the weekend. I don't think you stopped smiling, actually. Does your face hurt more than your legs because of the smiling that you were doing constantly all weekend?
I do have a few more wrinkles. Yeah, definitely.
Are you a little bit weathered, Maz?
A little bit, yeah. No, it was just brilliant. It was amazing. I'm so glad. It just, everyone was awesome, so.
I echo what Ben said. I mean, you were already a fantastic community member, and for that we're really, really grateful. You give a lot to the community, which is fantastic, and it was ace to meet you in real life. I've got to say, Ben, I don't think you were here for this. It was Friday tea time, and I'd made some bold statement. I said, if and when it rains, I'll go in the lake. We'll go in the lake and do a bit of wild swimming. Before I'd even finished the sentence, these raindrops started splatting down. I thought, oh God, no, here we go. And I had to be in the water next to Maz with her beautiful legs. I have never seen anybody look so incredible in swimwear. And there was me, like a freaking human sausage roll. Hiya, Maz. Make sure you get me with me less chins. Get me good side, will you, with your photos. Maz, your photos were brilliant. You are brilliant. And when I was putting the reels together at the weekend, looking back at all the stuff you'd taken snaps off and videos, it was just glorious. So thank you. And you do have the best legs I've ever seen in my life.
Thank you. You know, I risked my life trying to swim and video at the same time. I've never done it before.
It was worth it.
Totally worth it.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Maz. David, I'm going to come to you next. When Maz was talking there about her journey from south to Wales, 5 hours, and talking about the feelings and how it might be when she arrived, I could see you nodding like this. Now, you had a mega journey as well, except it was from north to south. So how did you feel on your way to the campsite last Friday?
Yeah, so it was like a 6-hour drive for me. I felt very similar. I don't normally drive that often. When I do, I normally get a bit agitated by it, but I just felt very calm the whole way down. Like, I think maybe the last 10 miles, I got a little bit nervous, but maybe that was more the roads than meeting people. But yeah, generally just really, really relaxed. Even with the terrible drivers on the roads slowing everything down, it was still, and the traffic on the M6, I was still pretty relaxed about the whole thing. It was great.
As we were saying with Maz there, it was fantastic to meet you. IRL, which if you're not young and trendy, means in real life. I remember being on a Zoom call with you, David, maybe a couple of months ago, and we were talking on one of our community Zooms about this trip, and I could see you going, oh, I don't know, I don't know if it's for me. And then by the end of the Zoom call, you'd signed up, you'd committed, you were in. Same question I asked Maz. What tipped you over the edge? Why did you decide to come?
I think apparently it was through jealousy of the Yorkshire Three Peaks, because there seemed to be about 10 podcasts on it. I'm sure there wasn't that
many. There was only one, David Rude. One.
Because he'd been gone on about it for a few weeks. but I actually posted in the forum the week after the Yorkshire Three Peaks because I wanted to go, but I'd kind of hurt my ankle earlier this year. So I was like, I didn't know if I was up to it physically. But I actually, it reminded me that the conversation that happened after the Yorkshire Three Peaks was very similar to what I experienced when I was a lot younger. I was in the Scouts and I went on a Scout trip, my last one I went on when I was 16, all the way to Canada. And it was meeting a lot of people for the first time because we had Scout groups from all around the world. And it was like a 5-week trip and we went canoeing and hiking and it was a great experience. And when I was thinking about it, when I was comparing it to the Yorkshire Three Peaks, I kind of remembered it was the last like big trip or a big thing I'd done without any alcohol. There was no alcohol at all on the trip because obviously we're underage. So that those kind of memories made me think, I wonder if I can rekindle that type of feeling that I had when I was 16 by going now to the Snowdon camp. And so that was a big driver for me to go. Plus my wife doesn't like camping. So I wanted to excuse to go camping again because we've not been, I've not been able to do it for like
David,
7, 8
bloody
years.
Hate it.
Oh, come on, guys. I mean, look, I didn't do it. I was there for the day on Saturday, but you weren't camping. You were glamping. You had these huge bell tents the size of palaces with mattresses and duvets. Actually, and that's not camping.
Wrong. And Ben, you know what as well? We had on our little private area of this massive campsite. Yes,
the private lake as well. Shazza.
Private
the
area
private
with
lake.
A little bit
yes.
of the private lake. I actually, and I'm quite embarrassed to say this, I had a double bed, like raised off the ground with a quilt and everything.
Did you?
A double bed.
That's what they call her, the queen of sobriety.
I felt quite guilty. Not too guilty, I've got to say, climbing into it. It was wonderful. Yeah. And we all had our, we had two little portaloos as well, our own little porta potties that were actually brilliant, honestly.
Sounds less glamorous
in
now.
In fact, there's
it?
A story there, isn't there, David? And if you say it sounded like a horse, I'll slap you.
Right, I don't think we need to hear that story. You know what, David, I'd like to bring you back to that thought about the Scouts and those feelings you get. I did that when I was a kid. I was a Scout, I was in the CCF, and we were always... I was always, every weekend I was doing something. I was outside and I loved being outside and I loved this kind of team stuff, being together. I'd say all of that ended for me when my drinking career started. Like it really did. It was almost like, because I remember I was doing the Scouts and I was going to go into the Venture Scouts, I think. But yeah, drinking started and I just stopped doing it because it was a Friday night. And so therefore, instead of doing that, I was going down the pub instead. Did you have that feeling come back? You know, did you feel that at, you know, you're in your 30s now, David, aren't you? Did you have that sense of the excitement that you get, that kind of sense of achievement? Did it tick the box that you wanted it to tick?
Yeah, definitely. The excitement, the achievement level, like just going up Snowdon and getting to the peak. That was the first time I'd hiked anything probably over 500 metres since I was in the Scouts.
Wow.
So, yeah, so that was really, really cool. But I was the same as you, Ben. Like after I did that Canada trip, I started working. I was working in hotels, so I started working weekends. So I dropped out the Scouts and then with working at weekends and after work, you start drinking. And then I went to university and started drinking as well. So I've never got back into that at all. And I was actually speaking to one of the community members and hopefully he doesn't mind me saying this, Danny. And he was talking about how he used to go hiking with his dad all the time. And when he started drinking, he stopped doing that. And then when he stopped drinking, he started doing the hiking again because he remembered those memories from when he was a kid. So it's very, very similar for me. But yeah, definitely being one with nature, which sounds a bit wanky, I guess, but just having that experience and like achieving something is definitely a big part of it.
David, can I ask you about your story and how alcohol free you are and how you're getting on with all that side of things as well? Because you found OTI because in January this year you searched Dry January in your podcast app and now you're on the bloody podcast. Did you think that would happen first of all?
No, definitely not. But I remember it was a nice day in January and I was like, I need to do some work in the garden. I was like, I just need to listen to a podcast for an hour. And I kind of got sick of true crime podcasts. So I decided to search for Dry January and yeah, I found it in the Spotify app. So yeah, it's kind of surreal because after I found the podcast, I listened to the Dry January episode, which I had one of the community members, I think it was Danielle on, and
it was, yeah.
Try Dry Sorry, I can't remember his name.
Dr. Richard Piper, the CEO of Alcohol Change UK.
Yeah, so I listened to that podcast, and then I went all the way back to the beginning and started listened to all the other podcasts, and it was quite, I don't know if it was by chance, but I kind of hit 100 days by the time I got to the up to date with the podcast, I caught up with it. And that's when I decided to join the community. I would say the podcast got me through the first 100 days, and the community got me through the next 100 days. I'm about 250 days ish now.
Brilliant.
So I'm hoping Snowden's going to get me through until at least the end of the year.
Oh, without a doubt, this is going to carry you through to next January. I can tell you now, you'll be buzzing on this, David, for weeks. I'm so chuffed that you found us, because it's been a pleasure to chat to you on the Zooms. But, and like you said, it all sounds a little bit wanky, and it's because it's bloody true. That connection in real life, it doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, where you're from, where you are on the drinking scale. In many ways, nobody gives a shit. We care massively about our members, of course, but by that I mean there's no judgment. There's zero judgment. And actually, what I found fantastic this weekend, I don't know about you, David, was talking to other members. And actually, in the main, it was conversations that were bugger all to do with alcohol. That's the first step, removing booze. Everything else that happens further down the line becomes less and less about it, because your world opens up. And there you are, standing on the summit of Snowdon. We were promised a bloody sunrise, by the way. We want money back from our leader. It was drizzly. It was cloudy. But it was one of the most memorable things I've ever experienced. I was actually in tears watching everybody summit going up and down this little trig point. It was breathtaking. So I'm so chuffed, David, that you were part of that.
It was an amazing experience. I think the thing about the hike was, I don't really remember too much about the hiking. I just remember the conversations. And I think in a way, it's quite good that it was pitch black and you couldn't see anything, because it made you concentrate, and to distract you from the fact that you were hiking up Snowdon was the conversations. And I had so many different conversations with different people, and they were quite, and I think they kind of hit home more, because I think with this community, there's always, everybody's story is different, but I think parts of everybody's story I can relate to, and that's what makes it so special. So I think the fact it was dark on the way up made it easier to connect with people, and I think it even made it more memorable, rather than, well, I don't think we would have seen much anyway. If it was daylight, it would have just been more cloud, right? So the darkness definitely helped with the concentrating on the conversations, and that was a major part of like that trip up the mountain and the experience.
It was surreal, wasn't it, in that car park with our head torches on. I think we left our campsite at 3. We were at the foot of Snowdon for about 3:30, something like that. Everybody kitted out, suited and booted, ready to go, head torches on. And I remember another community member, it was Matt, David said, we were halfway up Snowdon, he just looked at me and he went, "What the fuck are we doing here? This is crackers." But in a good way. You know, if you stop and actually think about it, it was mind-blowing. It was crackers.
David, it's great to have you on this call. And it's weird, a bit odd, actually, because usually you join us, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this or not, tell me if I need to edit this out, but you join us at work usually on the Zoom calls in your glass case of emotion, we call it, because you sit in a little glass box, don't you, at work?
Does he?
And join us on the Zoom calls, yeah. So it's nice to see you at home in a kind of relaxed environment rather than the office where it's all go, go, go. It is soundproof though, isn't it, your glass case?
Yeah, it's soundproof, yeah. So yeah. I also wear headphones, so any of the community, if I'm on the call, no one else can hear. So it's protected that way. But yeah, it's like a meeting pod, and it's just for one person, so I don't take up a meeting room at work. But people just think I'm on a Zoom call for work, so it's fine.
Right.
Hopefully no one will listen to this.
Yeah, you're just planning your next Snowdon trip with all these weirdos off the internet. We are just going to take a very quick break from yet another fantastic episode of Over the Influence. I love it.
I love the community ones. The specials are the best.
Honestly,
I love them.
It's like we haven't paid them to say these things. It's just brilliant.
Technically, they've paid us to say these things.
yes, they have.
Either monthly or annual memberships.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so much to talk about that it's just fantastic. You're going to be hearing much, much more coming up very, very shortly. I think it's fair to say, I'm not going to give you a percentage or a number, a huge chunk of people that came on that trip who are community members were scared, were nervous, were anxious. You know, some posted in our little chat groups. I got on the motorway and I thought, what the flip am I doing? I'm turning round. And then they thought, no, 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 I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And what's happened is on the back of Snowdon, we've already got a flurry of signups for our next adventure, which is happening in October.
October.
What's
Kinder
it called?
Kinder Scout, yeah.
Flipping
Epic. Kinder Scout in the Peak District.
Kinder Scout. Kinder Scout.
One day trek. And not only that, Shaz, but we're going to be releasing our full schedule of events for 2023 very soon.
I can't wait. The amount of messages and emails that have come through on the back of Snowdon. How can I sign up? How can I get involved? Well, in order to come on the trips, basically, you have to be a community member because that is one of the many perks of being involved. So the next one coming up, it's a nice 10-mile trek. It's happening in the Peak District. It's called Kinder Scout. We've got 30 places on that because all these trips are limited. You can't just all come willy-nilly. We do put a limit on it. We've got qualified guides.
For health and safety, that, isn't it?
Health and safety, insured guides. Yeah. This isn't me and Ben leading you across.
No, thank God.
Can you imagine?
Definitely not us. They're proper good organised trips. They're amazing.
Yeah.
But yes, you've got to be a member.
You do.
To come on them.
Absolutely.
Overtheinfluence.co.uk if you want to join us, either on a monthly or an annual membership. Overtheinfluence.co.uk.
And I want to give a very quick welcome to all the members who signed up having seen all my really swanky reels that are posted on Thinsta after the trip. Yeah.
Thinsta, never heard that
on
before.
Thinsta. Is
that on the gram. On the gram, as the kids say.
On the gram.
Right, should we get back and hear a bit more about Snowdon?
Fantastic.
Let's get back to the episode. Shaz, I feel like for balance we should go boy, girl, boy, girl. But I want to talk to Will because, Will, you shared a tent with David. How was it? You know, was he a good tent mate? Anything you need to tell us about? Anything we need to watch out for David for on future trips? Would you share a tent with him again? Many questions, not related to alcohol-free life at all. Will, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks very much for having me. Yeah, it's a real pleasure to be here. Yeah, good question. Would I share a tent with David again? I mean, David's lovely. He's a really nice guy. And one of the first things he said to me when I walked in, he offered me a job because he said, well, what do you do? And I said, I work in software. And he said, oh, well, I'm a software hiring manager, so I can give you a job. So that was great. So obviously I was really appreciative of that.
Icebreaker.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I just got a job 2 weeks previously, so if I hadn't, then absolutely I would have accepted it. The flip side to that is he does fart.
I don't believe that for a second, David.
There was snoring and there was a bit of farting, so I only got a couple of hours sleep on the night before the hike. But aside from that, that's my only complaint. Aside from that, yeah, he's really lovely and great to share a tent with.
Good. Will, you've not been with OTI for long. How long have you been a member for, Will?
So I think it's only about 6 weeks now. Yeah, so I'm on day 67 of my AF journey. Yeah, so
brilliant.
Yeah, relatively new member.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about, well, 6 weeks in, you've started to get to know everyone on Zoom. It's a big thing for you to launch straight in and go, yeah, I'm going to book a ticket. I'm going to spend the whole weekend with these people. How did you feel on the way there?
I felt okay, to be honest, for the majority of it. But then a little bit nervous as I started to get closer because I'd only done one of the Zoom calls. So I didn't really know anyone. I'd only met Shaz and the other guy I'd met wasn't there. So certainly a bit apprehensive. But everyone's just so nice and welcoming. And you can talk to anyone, and everyone's just really positive. I mean, I was quite skeptical a little bit at first because I'm like, well, why is everyone so happy? You know, why is everyone so upbeat? Because I'm kind of more of a pessimist in that respect, and a bit skeptical of people who are always upbeat and happy. But it's really genuine, and everyone there was really genuine and just made me feel straight at home right away. So, yeah, I settled in really quickly, and yeah, it was a fantastic weekend.
Tell us a bit more about you then, Will. So we know that you work in software. You Between countries, you've got a foot in each. You're between here and Spain, aren't you, Will?
Yeah, that's right. I'm actually packing tonight to go back. I fly back tomorrow. So one of the reasons I came back here was to sort of start this AF journey. I guess, like, I think similar to, I think it's how you usually intro the podcast, Ben, as you say, in your 20s, you sort of drank to have fun and have a good time. And in your 30s, it was more to sort of escape and sort of numb yourself a bit. And I can certainly relate to that a lot. I guess I've got an arse made of stone because I've had a few rock bottoms along the way. And I had one this year, actually drank so much I gave myself alcohol poisoning. And I was lying in bed, not feeling great, and decided that, you know, it's time again to give up. And I'd been sober curious for probably a couple of years, kind of toyed with the idea of, well, what would it be like if I gave up for a year or for 6 months? And being a professional procrastinator, of course, I didn't give up right away. A few more months went by. And I just reached the point where I said, this isn't sustainable anymore. And so, yeah, I moved back to the UK and started my F journey. And here I am 67 days later. And I think it's great because it's such a short amount of time. But the amount of change that I've gone through is phenomenal.
I mean, it's when you're doing something like this, it is, you know, we do talk about the positives a lot. We think that, you know, when you focus on the positives, when you're going towards something good rather than running away from something bad, we, you know, the carrot over the stick, you know, we think that that's our philosophy here at OTI. It's not all unicorns farting glitter, as community member Danny, who's already been brought up in this call, has said before. But, I mean, how do you feel? I mean, we talked about, and I hope you don't mind me asking you this, because we talked about this a bit on the paddle boards when we were out on the lake on Saturday. You know, you live in Barcelona, and Barcelona is... it's party central. How are you feeling about going back to Barca now that you are alcohol free? Because you're over 2 months alcohol free, which is incredible. How do you feel about going back?
Yeah, I mean, certainly part of me is looking forward to going back. And there's definitely a side that's slightly apprehensive because sort of when I left, you know, I was that sort of drinker, you know, party goer. And so it's going to be quite a change. And I think obviously going back to that kind of backdrop certainly, you know, will sort of trigger some of those memories, I think. But also, I think certainly with, you know, the support of the community and having met so many people in a similar situation, I think I'm sort of quietly confident as well, because I kind of feel like in those 2 months, it's given me enough of a foundation that, and giving me enough of, I guess, perspective. I certainly feel that my relationship with alcohol has changed already. And I look at it in a completely different light, and it's given me a totally new awareness. So even though, you know, those nerves are there, yeah, I certainly feel good going back to it and excited to see what it's going to be like, what the difference is going to be like, you know, going back and living a sober lifestyle there and what that will bring.
Yeah, we talked a bit about this on the lake, and it is like, it's exactly that. 20s for me, I've said it many times, it was, yeah, drinking because it was fun and then using it to escape. But also I kind of had this realization of like, I don't want that to be part of my identity. Like, well, I say part of my identity, it was becoming my identity. I was Ben, you go out and have a few beers with, and a few beers would turn into a few more beers. And then, oh, bloody hell, I'm out with Ben, which means I'm not going to be back till 1 o'clock in the morning. I should probably text the wife now. I don't want to be that guy. Do you know what I mean? Well, it was so great to meet you, and I was so impressed that you threw yourself in so early, as, you know, as being a part of the community. Are you going to fly back? Because we're going to release our full schedule of events for 2023 very soon. Are you going to fly back and join us for some next year?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to fly back. Yeah, without a doubt. I had such a good time, and I definitely want to stay involved. And actually, I think what you were talking about on the paddle boards, I remember you saying, because I talked about, I think I asked you, have you ever thought about going back? And you just said, no, I'm having too much fun doing these things now. I never would. And yeah, I completely agree. And yeah, I can't wait for the next thing. So yeah, certainly I'll be flying in.
Fabulous. Great news. Because we've always got to have someone who flies in. Because of course, Yorkshire Three Peaks, we had Nicole fly in from Brisbane for the Yorkshire Three Peaks. We had Helen join us from Bahrain for this one. So Will, you've got to fly in because you've got to keep that international space open. So yeah, please do. Please do join us. Denise, thank you for being so patient.
Hi, Ben.
I'm sorry it's taken us a while to get around to you. How are you? How are you feeling after the weekend? Are you buzzing still?
I am. Yeah, it was really, really good. Excellent. Good. And it's been lovely sitting on this call, listening and bringing, it's bringing me back to there, to what it was like there. It's bringing up the memories. It's really, really good.
I think that you definitely were in the Who Smiled the Most competition. You were in the top five easily this weekend. How did you find it? What was the things that, you know, now you've had a few days to reflect on it. What did you take from the weekend, do you think?
Well, I didn't feel nervous about it. As soon as it came up, I saw it on the app. I think it was released on a Saturday morning. Within an hour or two, I think it signed up. Probably one of the first. It was just absolutely, I thought, that's up my street. That's only 2 hours. Well, 3 hours. I drive slowly, so 3 hours from home. I can't not do it. That's ridiculous if I didn't do it. And I knew it would be a lovely bunch of people because I've met loads of people on Zooms, and I just knew that would be great. And it's also a very nice way. It was kind of rounding off the summer holidays. It was a lovely conclusion to summer holidays before back to school, back to work. I've never climbed Snowdon. I've wanted to for ages. And just having something that's organised, it's just excellent. It's so easy. I just really appreciated it. So I just jumped at the chance. And I didn't get nervous before because I'd met so many people on Zooms plenty of times. And I just really, really enjoyed myself. As you said, smiled, felt like I smiled all weekend. And it was, I was just reflecting, thinking that, you know, if I was still drinking, maybe I could have said something silly or done something silly. But it's lovely not drinking because, you know, you can turn up and just be yourself and you won't do anything like silly. You won't do anything really regretful, you know, or say anything regretful or be any way that isn't just genuinely you. And I'm really happy with that. I feel peaceful. And that's probably why I was smiling so much.
Can you tell us a bit about your story, Denise? Because you are busy mom, you know, you are working, you got a great job. Like, we know each other pretty well now from, you come on loads of our calls, which is fabulous, the community Zooms. But I think that's a big thing for you, wasn't it? It was, you know, you can see, because you're, how far in are you now, Denise?
I'm at 3.5 months. So I just checked my day account. It said 111. That's quite catchy.
Brilliant. You are so... Already, you seem a lot calmer. And I know there's been the occasional Zoom call where you come on and you go, right, I've only got 5 minutes, but I just need to let you guys know that this is going on because I'm stressed. And then you've left feeling a bit better. But you are, in general, a lot calmer. And I know that for you, it was you didn't like the feeling of kind of being out of control that drinking gave, wasn't it? And
Like,
what kick-started you to go, right, you know what, okay, I'm going to ditch the booze and go alcohol-free?
So I was sober curious for a few years as well. Like 3 years ago, I just decided to stop drinking alcohol. I did it in February because it was a busy period at work. So I carried that on for, I think, 2.5 months. And then I started drinking again because I thought, oh, I know, you know, this is fine. One of my friends who actually was one of the people who inspired me this time, she hasn't drunk for several years now. And she said, oh, right, no, you should have gone to about 100 days at least. Because only then can you really start, you know, recovering and getting over it and just really start seeing some changes. She said, they say, you know, there's no, she said that apparently. So I thought, right, but better do it again. That was 2019. And then in 2020, it was COVID and it didn't even cross my mind with everything else that was going on. I worked the whole way through and we have, I live with my husband and daughter. She's still in primary school. So it was really, really busy. Went through 2020 and 21. And then it was the beginning of 2022. I was out for lunch with this friend of mine and she said, oh, I'm 5 years alcohol free now. And I thought, oh, that's really good because we're in our early 40s. And I thought, oh, so that's good. And she's just, you know, she's always really healthy, does a lot of running and stuff. And I thought, yeah, you know, I could really do with a big health kick. And then another friend said, oh, I haven't drunk for 3 years. And I said, why? And she said, it was just really good for you. And I started thinking, oh, it is really, isn't it? Yeah, it came to me. And I don't know, it was just a load of different people in my life or nights out or just getting, waking up in the middle of the week and thinking, oh, I had those beers last night and I'm working today, but I know I'm not 100% really. So I just decided, I just woke up one day and said, right, that's it. And I had listened to some podcasts of Over the Influence. I'd heard one with Niamh McSheehan. She's walking.
Yes, big fan of walking. Well. Yes, he's fab. Well, you know what? You're such a big fan of walking that it's nice to see you kind of face on today, Denise, because usually we can see up your nose because you're walking on Zoom. But you hold your phone down here and you're always, always walking whenever you join a member of Zoom.
Yeah, it's my walk to work. So I thought, oh, do you know, this sounds really sound. I'm just going to join this community because I know that what you monitor, you manage. And I said, it's going to be much easier if I've got some accountability. And I'm going to do that. Yeah. And what it's like anything. So it's just accountability. So I thought that seems like a good idea. Joined on my day three, something like that. And was straight onto a Zoom the next morning. It was one of your Zooms, Ben.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Were you expecting to get as into it as you are? Did you think it would? Because, you know, hopefully OTI is, I don't want to speak, you tell me I'm wrong, but hopefully it's kind of a big part of your life now in the sense of, you know, you're coming away on weekends, you're joining the Zoom calls. Were you expecting that to happen when you joined?
No, I thought there would be Zooms and I didn't really know what else. And then on my, I think it was my first or second week, we did Yorkshire Three Peaks. And I remember thinking, oh, I could do that. But I hadn't really trained and I was only going to be on about day 10. So I thought, oh, I had other commitments, I won't do it. And then actually we went to Snowdon and there was someone else who'd only just stopped drinking the previous week. So I thought, right, actually, that's pretty cool. Stopping and taking part so quickly. So then, no, I could see that you were doing Yorkshire Three Peaks and I knew I would do the next one. And then obviously it came up and it was only a few hours from home, so I did it. And I have another one booked in for October. We're going up Kinder Scout in the Peak District.
Yes. Yeah, fabulous. I love Kinder Scout. It's gorgeous around there. And not too far from us, Denise.
Exactly, Scout, exactly.
Always useful.
No, that's it.
It's great to see you. Like, and it is weird, isn't it? Because I remember saying to Jem before we went on the Yorkshire Three Peaks one, my fiance Jem, like, she's like, oh, you know, you're nervous about meeting everyone. And I was like, well, no, because we're not meeting. Yes, okay, we've not met face-to-face in real life before, but I can tell you about this person's family and I can tell you how this person's job's going. I can tell you that this is happening with this person's pet and their kids over you know, you get to know each other, don't you? In fact, you know what? I'd love to throw this out to anyone to answer, really, because you're all at different stages in your own alcohol-free journeys. You all found us in different ways. What would you say to somebody who is listening to this? And they've been, because we've got, you know, listeners who've been going for over 2.5 years now. What would you say to someone who's listening to this and going, you know what, is this worth it for me? Do I want to join? Like someone who's feeling a bit nervous, or maybe like you, Will, a bit sceptical. What would you say to that person who's listening to this in terms of, you might be a bit nervous to take the leap and click that join us button?
I would just say, just dip a toe in, you know, give it a try, you know, because you can always have a go, and if it's not for you, then you can back out. And I think once you have a go, I think you'll find it's so welcoming and everyone's very supportive, and it feels like home in a lot of ways. And I think having that support, having that connection, the community is really vital and really important.
I would say just try it as well. Just do it. I mean, you could put it off, but why bother? Just do it.
Is that easier said than done, though, Denise? Because you can put it off, and we were talking about that earlier. I accidentally became sober, but really, when I look back on it, I've been putting it off for years. I did know that I needed to do this at some point. I just never quite got that formed in my head until OTI came along and presented it to me in a very nice, neat package. You know, but it is harder than that, isn't it?
No, but if you don't do it, you won't get engaged with it. And if you do, then you have the opportunity for it to work or not work. But, you know, by simply not joining, not signing up, you're making your choice before you've even tried. Not you, Ben. one does.
Maz, it looked like you're about to jump in then.
Yeah. It's a really hard thing to, like, it's so easy for us to say because we did it, right? But it is very much just about giving it a go, because there are no negative consequences, okay? There's nothing bad is actually going to happen as a result of joining. Worst case scenario, you join and go, okay, not what I expected. Not the end of the world, really. What's likely going to happen is you'll come across posts and you'll read about people and you'll think, oh, okay, this resonates a little bit, and then you'll stick around, and then you might comment, and then you'll get a comment back, and then by the time you know it, you get fully absorbed by the community, make a whole bunch of friends, and yeah, and the rest is history. So it is, although that first step can be a bit tricky, but you literally don't have anything to lose.
I think the thought of it is actually worse. It's like whether you're going to go for a run or go to the gym in the morning, you think about it, you think, oh God, I can't be bothered, it's going to be horrible and all the rest of it. But then once you actually do it and you're there, you have the best time, and afterwards you feel great.
What do you reckon, David? Are you going to stick around, mate?
Yeah, I hope so. No, like it's not easy, right? That's the thing. Like, I think you're right, Ben, in saying like, It's okay with, like, I'm 8.5 months in now. So for me, it's like, oh, just give it a go. And one thing I would say is, like, I didn't want to give up alcohol when I started to listen to the podcast. And the podcast made me realize the benefits of giving up alcohol. So if you already understand what the benefits are going to be, like less anxiety, better sleep, better mental health, better general health, better fitness, then that's, you're already a little bit of the way there, right? Like, still the hardest thing to do is to give up that drinking. But I would encourage anybody to, even if you don't want to join the community, just listen to the podcast, because like I said earlier on, there's a lot of things that everybody can relate to, and there's a lot of stories that are similar to mine in the community. And there's also a lot of support within the community itself. So I would just say, give it a go. If it doesn't work out for you, then at least to say you can try. But if you're already thinking about it, then that's already an indication that this might be the right path for you.
Guys, thank you so much for your time this evening. Thank you for joining us on this podcast. It's been lovely to talk to you, and it was great to see you. I wish I could have been there for the whole weekend, but, you know, Jem is very pregnant. The baby can come at any time, so being at the top of a mountain and getting the phone call wouldn't have been ideal. But next year, I cannot wait until we release our full schedule of events, because I'll be diving in. I'm sure the baby will be older by then. It's easy, isn't it? Denise, you've got a little one. It's not that hard, is it, having a baby?
We can wait and see.
Okay. Yeah, it can't be that difficult. Loads of people have got them. And people have like 2, 3, 4 sometimes. I've got a mate, he's got 5 kids, so it can't be that tough. No, it's so lovely to see you in real life. And just for what you're saying then about the community at the end, it can be nerve-wracking, but actually just diving in, you never know what could happen next. So thank you. If you want to read some of Maz's incredible posts in the discussion forum, join us. If you want to see up Denise's nose on Zoom, join us. Or David's glass case of emotion. Or you know what? If you go to Barcelona and you need a spare room, tap Will up. Who knows? There might be a spare room going in Barcelona. To do all these things, you've got to join us. Overtheinfluence.co.uk. Community members, fabulous to see you. Thank you. And catch you on a Zoom next week.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't care. I'm going to say it again. I love all our episodes. I love all our guests. I love everybody that comes on the pod. There is something quite special when it is our community.
About the specials. They are great. And you know what? How lovely to hear such nice things about it. And it's not us. You know, it's not me and Chaz. It's the whoever comes on the trip makes the atmosphere of the trip. Yeah. And there's such a lovely vibe around the Over the Influence community in general. Look, if you've listened to that, you want to come, you want to be part of these trips, as I said earlier on in the middle bit, we've got our whole schedule, full schedule of 2023 events coming out very soon. Some up north, some down south, some one day, some 2 day. You know, it's a real mix of stuff, so there should be something there for everyone. You've got to be a member if you want to come on those trips. So go to, Sharon, what's that address?
Oh, funny you should ask, Ben. Thanks for asking. It's overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Did you say it's overtheinfluence.co.uk?
Yeah, yes, I did. And if you missed that, overtheinfluence.co.uk. And actually, if you would like to drop us an email, you're more than welcome to do that. Any questions at all about the trips, OTI adventures, anything to do with the community, that email address, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Why am I talking like that?
I don't know, but I quite like it. See you next week.
Bye.